Yeah. I want to teach tonight on faith, and there may be several messages that will come from this, but we'll go as the Lord leads. And for the title of our teaching tonight, discern how you are hearing with regard to God's word. Discern how you are hearing with regard to God's word. And I believe the emphasis tonight is going to be on how we're hearing. And we all need to be on our guard for this, because it's so easy to become dull of hearing. And dullness of hearing can affect in many ways, as we're going to look at this evening. But I want to base our teaching tonight from something very familiar in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 18 through to 31. 18 to 31. And I'll read this out first, and then we shall look at some of this as the Holy Spirit leads and guides. So we take it up from verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews require a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him who are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, the righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Discerning how you are hearing with regard to God's word. We're told, aren't we, as we know so well in Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing or reading God's word. But the question that we raise tonight is, what is influencing your hearing and reading, if anything? Because the enemy will try and work in whatever way he can. And one of the ways that he really attacks, and we do need to be on our guard with this, brothers and sisters, it is with regard to how we are reading God's word and how we're hearing God's word. And this is very, very important. We sometimes can allow hindrances to get in the way with regard to hearing the word of God. we may allow maybe our trials, or where God is dealing with us, whether it be individually or corporately, we sometimes can allow for a season the Word of God to be hindered because of our attitudes or prejudices, or we're just sulking, or we've fallen out with someone, or even with God. All of this can really hinder how we're hearing the Word of God. Whether we're reading the Bible, whether it's in the preaching of the Word, or whatever it is, or whether it's we're listening to things in the world, the wisdom of the world, which is often motivated by pride, humanism. Many, many things can influence how we're hearing God's word. You see, unbelief will always seek an alternative. And in nature, it's blinding and deceiving. This is why we need to be weaned on the Word of God. This is why we need to come regularly together as brothers and sisters, to come and not only meet and fellowship, but to also hear God's anointed Word. It is imperative, because faith comes by hearing this Word. And God has not just worked it so that you just read the Bible on your own and faith will come. There are a number of ways that God works faith within our hearts, as we know, and we'll look at later on in the parable of the sower. But it says, doesn't it, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it's a hearing. We, of course, can read, because many of us now read. Back in the old days, many of them were illiterate, so they listened to the apostles preaching and teaching, hearing the word. So there are a number of ways in which God gets our attention, of which to hear the word of God. And it doesn't necessarily mean that to hear the word of God, you've got to sit and listen to a 3-hour sermon or a 6-hour sermon. If God so works that way, then that's how he works. Praise the Lord. It's not always quantity, but quality. It's what we listen to. It's what we hear. Is what we do with it. Where does it go? What is it doing? What is it accomplishing? Where is it going in me spiritually speaking? And it's very important that when we get together for our meetings, that we come prayed up. We come having prayed for the word. As I have said many times over the years, we go as far as we're prepared to pray and intercede. If things aren't going right, or things are going wrong, then we have to question certain things. We have to examine, one of which is maybe our prayer is lacking. Our prayer is lacking for the church, for fellowship, for the word that's coming forth, and so forth. It's not just left to the preacher to do it. We are all involved with regard to the revelation and teaching that comes out of this church. And it is important that each of us as members get behind the word, that it is anointed, that our hearts and lives will be prepared to receive that word, because it is paramount in these last days that we walk by faith. And we're going to see, as the days are closing, as things are getting worse, we're going to really appreciate and understand why the faith teaching and the deeper life was given to us way, way back. We're going to see its merits. We're going to see why God is moving and speaking in such a way, because We are experiencing the great falling away globally. That is unbelief, a lack of faith. The lack of spiritual discernment now amongst people, and particularly amongst academics, is absolutely dreadful. Most do not have a clue or know what is even in the Bible. That is how bad it is now, even in education, and it's getting worse even in schools and so on. It just shows a part of the falling away now that is taking place. So it is absolutely paramount how we as overcomers hear the pure word of God in these last days, because unbelief will always seek an alternative, and in nature it's binding and deceiving. And this is why God, through the word, as we pray to receive the word of God, the word of God is not only to give us faith, which is needed, but the word of God is also to bring about a deliverance, a change in our mind, our thinking, our heart, as God works by the Holy Spirit through the sword of the Spirit. In other words, he's removing those hindrances to our faith. And only the humble that walk before God in meekness and lowliness will be sensitive to those hindrances to their faith. People who suffer with pride believe they have the faith to move mountains. They believe that they know it all, they know what the word of God says and so forth, and they don't really see their need for hearing that word regularly. But the humble are desperate to hear God's word, because they've had a revelation that the only way you please God is to walk by faith. It's not only walking by faith, but it's walking totally by faith. How God is going to get us to walk totally by faith? Well, we have to simply believe that with a childlike faith. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know how he's going to accomplish that in our lives, but that's what he wants, and that's what he will do. Why? Because he's God, and nothing is impossible with him. And all he ever wants of us is, with that simple childlike faith, to believe that God is going to work and work and work and work and work with my faith, your faith, until I am completely believing. And we'll know when we're believing. We'll know because of the rest and because of the blessings and all that comes and is accomplished by faith. But walking totally by faith is not just having your needs met, or having your bills paid, or healing in your life. All of that has its place. A walking totally by faith is a consecration. It's walking and totally trusting God in everything. And you know as well as I do that life throws up the most diverse things. Things that we never thought, or whatever it would be. Nothing will take a person who walks totally by faith, nothing will take them by surprise, because faith is always ready. Faith is always alert. Faith is completely attuned, walking with God. That's ultimately what our faith is maturing and coming to. And of course, we must remember that faith worketh by love. It is the love of God that inspires, that moves those mountains, along with the word of God and so forth. So of course nothing of this can be separated, as we know. But unbelief will always seek the alternative, if not dealt with. And we all still have areas of unbelief in our life. And we have to be alert. We have to be sensitive. We have to be open, humble before God. We have to be in prayer and communication with God with regard to areas still of unbelief. Because if we're not brothers and sisters, we're going to seek the alternative and we will be deceived by it. What do I mean by that? Well, let's just take one example that's so controversial with regard to healing. Well, God, he heals through the doctors and he heals through the medicines and whatever. But somebody who's totally walking by faith will realize that this was all accomplished and done at Calvary. The blood of Christ is sufficient, is enough. It has done everything that is needed for us. The question is that God is still removing those fears and unbelief and that what if and so forth. I use that as an example because that's the one of the controversial sides of the deeper life. That's where the enemy has worked and tried to cause a lot of trouble. But we still have to read the scriptures, and if you read them with an open heart and a simple childlike faith, it is not rocket science to see that God has provided wholeness in mind, body and spirit through the blood of Jesus. And we can either alter that and change our theology, or we can continue to stay with it and not deviate and allow the Holy Spirit to finally and completely work this faith to overcome in these last days. And I believe he will. I believe the nature of walking totally by faith throws you completely on God and his word. And that's still some of the problem. Because the nature of faith, that is walking totally by faith, incorporates commitment, discipleship. It is the cross that we too are to take up daily and to follow. It deals with the selfish life, the independent spirit that we still grapple and fight with God. It is whether it's God's will or it's my will in this situation. And all the while we are still fighting in these areas, this hinders a total walk by faith. Total faith requires complete surrender of the will over to God. As it isn't going to work. And we will find that we become despondent. We will find that we question and so on. And the people that have ridiculed, criticized the deeper life teaching over the years do so because they themselves have not really committed themselves to discipleship. There's still the will factor involved. And I'm not saying that we get that immediately or overnight. But God is working in us both to will and do for his good pleasure. And this is why we still keep coming. And we come and we listen to the word of God. And we open our hearts to the word of God so that he can work and remove these obstacles. This obstacle is still really yielding to the will of God. And all the while that we're not really willing to yield to the will of God will hinder our faith. And if not dealt with, if not looking at it as God wants us to look at it, then it's going to hinder how we hear the word of God. I believe only a yielded vessel, a saint who is completely yielded to the Holy Spirit, is then enabled to be able to hear the word of God in its fullness, as God wants us to hear. Because a total faith walk will completely throw us on God and his word. You see, faith will always seek its source to be fed. If faith is there, faith is present in our hearts, and we know it's a gift. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. If that faith is there, that seed of faith, then you are going to seek whatever source, whatever, for that faith to be fed. You seek for it. This is why we sought in our hearts for our faith to be fed. This is how God brought us together from near and far. Out of all the millions and millions of people, here we are. We have fellowship with just a few of us, and God singled out so that we can come together, that our faith can be fed, inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's profound, brothers and sisters. It's not to say that others are not saved, and whatever it is, we just work out our salvation in fear and trembling and what God is doing with Full Gospel Assembly. But God has given us a standard in this church. He's given us a target, a goal, and that is that he can work in us, that we can come to that place that we can walk totally by faith. And we can either compromise on that and deviate from that, or we can make that our confession, our prayer, our intercession, our aim, that God's working with us, that we come to that place walking totally by faith, that is, trusting him and the promises of God's word. I believe when we look to the cross of Christ, you are looking to that. You're looking to the completed work that was accomplished at the cross when Christ rose from the dead. That's its ultimate. That's the good news of the gospel. You see, faith will endure until the manifestation, and it will deal with the hindrances hindering it. Or we need to ask why. And so I believe that our faith that God's given to us, and the deeper life teaching, discipleship, the cross, is so encouraging us to endure, to stay with it for the manifestation. We so think that our manifestations are just healing, or just my finances, or the saving of my son or my daughter, or the promises that I read, and they're all important, don't get me wrong. But how about the manifestation of my walk totally by faith with God? Isn't that worth believing for? That God, who lives in me, the Godhead, can so work with me that I can come to that place walking totally by faith. I believe that's the goal of our faith, because by that we're embracing Jesus Christ, who's the author and finisher of our faith. That is the vision. That is the challenge. That is the question I believe God is giving to each one of us tonight, because I have looked at this and thought long before preaching this. Because faith is going to be challenged, brothers and sisters. It's going to be challenged by the world, by the world's wisdom. It's going to be challenged by common sense. It's going to be challenged by technology. It's going to be challenged by academics. Everything that this world is proclaiming, trying to show evidence, trying to dispute creationism, trying to land on Mars and other planets and so forth. Everything, the Word of God is under a challenge. The powers of darkness are trying to make the Word of God a ridicule, laughable. There's a great warfare going on now, spiritually, in the heavens. And it's over our faith. Whether we're going to believe the world's ways and what it's producing, and technology, medical science and so on, or whether we're going to believe and hold on to the blood of Jesus and what is attained in the blood of the Lamb. That is how we overcome, it says, by the word of our testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, and love not our lives unto death. That's how we overcome. It doesn't change. It doesn't change. But we find, don't we, that the world's wisdom and this common sense tries to get in, tries to hinder, tries to analyze, tries to work it out. Well, God didn't quite mean it that way, or we can use this. After all, God uses everything. We have read, haven't we, in 1 Corinthians 1, what God thinks of man's way, man's wisdom. I'll remind us of this in a minute when we read some of these things. It's quite clear what we've read there, what God thinks about it. He's exposing the whole lot, the same as he's exposing it today. New ageism is deadly because it has a spiritual side to it. It's trying to take the world's wisdom and common sense and trying to spiritualize it now. Trying to make it appealing to the spiritual people. That's what's so subtle about it. And yet, New Ageism, if you look at it, is just combining more and more confusion. One minute you can eat this certain food, next minute you can't eat it. And so it goes on, and throwing everyone into confusion. You hear reports week after week on the news, breakthroughs and everything. Or certain diseases that they're detecting, that if you don't change your lifestyle in a certain way, then you're bound to get it, and so on, creating more and more fear in the mind. Satan's holding the world in fear, and where you've got fear, you've got confusion. But God has not saved us for fear, but he's given us a sound mind in Christ Jesus, and we cast down those fears, imaginations, those things that try to war against the mind and so on. We have to close the door to some of these things because the enemy is trying to work. He's trying to rob our simple childlike faith in believing the promises of God. And how he tries to use the past, how he tries to suggest, well, it didn't work the last time you tried it, or that brother, that sister didn't make it through, did they? And they were holding on, and so on. Well, what are we going to believe? What are we going to believe? Does the word of God change because it didn't work? Or my experience was contrary? Does that change the word of God? No, it doesn't. Most of our experiences, or what outwardly appears as though it didn't work, is actually a means of deliverance for us. It's God trying to get our attention. He's trying to say something. He's speaking to us. But too often, we're too busy. We're not allowing time in consecration before God, for God to speak, to touch us, to change us. That is a lot of the problems. life today is so manic. Everyone's so busy. Everyone doing this and doing that have no time to be still before God. The Christian has a life of waiting on God. That is the nature of our salvation and our calling. It is an attitude of waiting. It's an attitude of being in the presence of God so that we hear God. We hear him speak. He reveals to us. There are still many things I believe God wants to reveal to us, but we are just not in that place to let him do so. Because this helps with our faith, brothers and sisters. But our faith is going to be challenged by the world and its ways. And our faith at times will look foolish. And it's going to look foolish to our friends, our family, employers. Faith doesn't always fit into our lifestyle, our ordered lives. Faith doesn't fit into it. Faith is above it. Faith works differently. Faith doesn't work how the world works and thinks and acts and so on. Are we prepared to let faith do that? To change us? Or do we still want to look and act and live like the world does? We are God's peculiar treasure, set apart unto him. There are times in our walk, whether individually or corporately, is controversial. It is strange. It does look odd at times. We've just read it in 1 Corinthians 1. Faith doesn't act like the world acts. Faith doesn't wait until the world is ready. Faith knows how to act if faith is present. And that is the whole point. And we've got to be ready. We've got to be alert. We've got to be open to this. Because unless we're willing to lose our lives, to lose what people think, how people observe me, or what the family think, or whatever it is, unless we're willing to lose all of that, we're never really going to walk this walk of faith. Jesus was not concerned what they thought of him. His first sermon he gave wasn't received by any means. They cast him out. Did it put him off? Did he say, well, if this is what preaching is and this is what faith is, I'm not carrying on with this anymore? On the contrary. On the contrary. If faith is present, faith knows. Faith is revelation. Faith tells you. Faith speaks. Faith knows. Faith is God, is Jesus. It's Jesus Christ in you. It is him. It is that gift that he gives. And when faith is present, you know what to do. Faith knows what to do. Because you've got God there. You can't separate any of it. Now in the scriptures, it says in verse 18 that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So we have to come right back to the basics for faith. And that is to be focused on the cross. Because it says that the preaching of the cross is for those who are being saved. In other words, it's a process. We are being called out from. It's a working that God is doing. So we are in the process, outwardly, visibly, being saved. By faith we are saved. We've been called from the foundation of the world. But in this life, in our flesh, we are being saved. We are walking through. This is where we get the idea of being a sojourner, this walk of faith. And what is the basis of this message, our faith? It is the preaching of the cross. It is the message. It is the focal point. And we are never going to understand a total walk of faith if our heart, our whole being, is not focused on the cross and its message. And it can only be fully understood when we also take up our cross and follow Christ. Do we then begin to really understand what this message is about? Because I too am walking the way of the cross. That is the death to the self life, that selfish life that still wants its own way over God and his way. And all the while we are still battling that, we cannot walk a total faith walk. And it isn't rocket science to find out why things didn't go as we thought or we thought was faith. That's probably one of the main areas which is the problem. And he then goes on, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. And that is what God is doing, and that is what he will do. That is why we have the book of Revelation, and that is why we have the final onslaught, the day of the Lord, when he comes, and when he comes to rule and reign, he's going to put down the world's wisdom. He's going to bring it to nothing. He's going to deal with pride and show how the world is so contrary to God's ways, God's wisdom. That's ultimately what it will come to. And then in verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? God says, I make the world its wisdom foolishness. I'm going to show how foolish it is to believe in the world and rely in the arm of the flesh, man's ways. And it's a process. He's working it. And he's going to work this through the sons of God. He's going to work this through the bride who's making herself ready, because he's going to do it through human beings. That's how God works. So you and I are consecrated, set apart to God to start exposing the world and how foolish it is. Now don't try and work it out how God's going to do it, but he has a remnant, he has a people in the world, and he's going to start with us. He's going to start with the overcomers, the first fruits. That's how he works it. Because we hold to the teaching of the cross. We exalt the cross. We lift the cross high in our lives and consecration. The very power that raised Christ from the dead is the very power that works through that and through the message. So where is the wise, as he says? Verse 21, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. So this wisdom of God is for those who believe, but the world regards them as foolish, as outcasts, because it's completely contrary to the thinking. The Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. There's the unbelief coming out. And God saving us also from that, brothers and sisters. We're still getting delivered from that mindset, that thinking. Oh, I want to see signs. I want wisdom. I want a head full of theology and understanding. I want that revelation. I want to know the word of God. Yes, we all want that, but there's ways that God teaches us. He teaches to the lowly, to the humble. That's the point. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. So whether it's to the Jews or whether it's to the Greek, the Hellenists, this whole message, its teaching, is absolute foolishness. And that's why you cannot convince them. That's why you cannot argue this or whatever it is. You simply preach the word, you share the word of God like we're doing tonight, and those who have been called and saved will hear it and will respond. That is the power of the gospel, to draw, to save mankind. That's how you and I were saved, brothers and sisters. It's absolutely profound how God does this. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Absolute, complete contrast. You couldn't get anything more diverse, more different than what he says there. So the things of the world that sound foolish, ridiculous, laughable, which they jeer, which they ridicule, God says that is the wisdom and mind of God. Because God doesn't want the world to hear it. That is why you have to be called from the foundation of the world. You can't hear it otherwise. And we simply respond by faith, and endure by faith, believing in God's word. But it is hid from the world. And that is why the world laughs at it and jeers and thinks it's foolish. That's why the world thinks, like a meeting we're having here tonight, is foolish. They don't understand. They don't see. They're blinded by the God of this world. And he goes on, he says in verse 26, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." So God is not influenced by the intellectuals. He's not influenced by the academics. That is not how God thinks. It's not how he works. That's why God so often calls the foolish of this world, those sometimes who are not very academic and so forth, he raises up as teachers and ministers of the word of God, so that they then are totally dependent on the Holy Spirit teaching them and not man. Theological colleges need to learn this one. I remember years ago a friend of mine saying that he went to a theological college because he wanted to become a minister, a vicar. And when he went for his interview, he said, "They never asked me once whether I knew Jesus, whether I was born again. All they were interested was whether I could raise the money for the courses and was able to look after myself." And he said, "That opened my eyes. I realized this is not the place for me." See, it's the world. It's man's wisdom. If a man is called for the gospel, God will provide. God will teach him. We have the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who's come to teach and lead and guide us into all truth. But the world regards that as absolute foolishness. They're blinded to it. They can't see it. That's the whole point. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. So there's coming a time, and God does it, where he reveals. And he has a way of opening people's eyes and making them ashamed because they've laughed, they've ridiculed, they've mocked, and so forth. But their laughter will be turned into tears, into sorrow. That's going to be the tragedy. But we, brothers and sisters, we are laughing. We have the joy of the Lord, because God has graciously and mercifully opened our ears and eyes and heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the cross of Calvary. That is the good message. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen. Are you base? Are you despised? Are you a joke? Do people laugh and mock at you? Well, praise God, you are chosen. You're the right person. That's why it's wrong for us to try and fit into this world and try and act like this world and appear and dress like this world, because the Bible says you're base, you're foolish, you're the outcast, you're the rejects. The world doesn't want you. Why are we trying to walk like the world and act like the world? It's completely contrary to what he says there. These are all things, brothers and sisters, that can hinder our faith from believing. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Now that's a revelation. Kicked out, so I hope we're all still here. Yes, I got booted out. I think somebody again doesn't like it tonight, but praise God, here we are. We're back in the room. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Your faith, my faith, that graciously is given to us as a gift, we're not going to glory at all in that. Now, if the world outside or believers say, oh, that brother, that sister has a strong faith, well, that strong faith that you have glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the whole point. And that is another reason maybe why we're not in that place of faith yet, as we should be, because we haven't yet seen that faith, a total walk of faith, is to glorify the Lord and God alone. I said tonight he would expose and reveal where areas while we're still not believing as we should. See, the Holy Spirit never gets it wrong. Never gets it wrong. And our faith, our total walk of faith that he's working in us to walk by, is, as we read there in verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. No flesh will glory in any of this. What faith comes from us and what faith is seen and so forth is all for God's glory. That's why many times when Jesus performed miracles or whatever he did, he would walk away or he would disappear. Or he told people to go away and tell no one. Because it was all about God's glory. God's glory will be seen. You don't have to advertise God's glory. You don't have to create a revival for God's glory. You don't have to start writing books for God's glory. God's glory knows how to advertise and to glorify his name. He doesn't need our help. And yet so many churches are trying to do it. Our lives, our consecration will do it. But of him who are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And this is a process. He's working this, brothers and sisters. You see, the bride of Christ is being made ready. She's preparing for God's glory. We're being trained ultimately. Sonship is being trained for God's glory. And it takes a lifetime. It's taking much longer than we thought. And as God is removing these hindrances to our faith, it's ultimately that he is glorified. Because we are the foolish of the world. We're the weak. We're the base. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do to make myself believe. There's nothing I can do for that person to be healed or whatever it is. It's all appropriated by faith, by God's promises in his word. For one purpose, it's about God's glory. And that's why at times faith will look foolish. It's going to look foolish, as I've said, to friends, family, employers. And faith doesn't always fit into our lifestyle. So you need to be prepared for this, brothers and sisters. To walk by faith and the promises of God, it takes an uncomplicated life. That is, free from control, from wrong commitments, wrong relationships, unnecessary involvements in things, getting caught up in the world, meddling in other people's affairs or whatever it is. Faith to walk, a total walk of faith, needs to be free from all those hindrances that hinder faith. And there are still things that go on in our lives. We're still held at times by families. We're more concerned about what they're saying and what God's saying. And so it goes on. Unnecessary involvements. This is why God's working with us. This is why he's working this separation. And this is why when we read the parable of the sower, that he's... The parable of the sower is all about life, how we're walking. How you're walking affects the word of God being sown into your heart and my heart. It's a very sensitive thing. And ultimately, only God can do it. That's the whole point. That's why it's absence of resistance. It's that simply yielding over to the Holy Spirit as he begins to work sensitively in areas. We're all of us under a microscope. We're all of us being observed every second, every moment by God's love and searching eye. And yet look how gentle he is with us. He never forces us. Sometimes we've just got to be honest that I can't do this, Lord. It's not in my heart. My affections are still out in the world. I still like doing this or like doing that. But I see that it's important. And as we give it over to him, so he'll start to work. Because unless God puts it in our hearts, we won't do it. We can hear it mentally. We can hear it in the mind. And yes, we can even say amen. But unless we allow God to work the affection in our hearts, it's never going to work. And that's why he's changing these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. And as our hearts are turned more and more into that flesh, that softness, so our faith grows. And a saint who's walking totally by faith is a saint whose heart has been changed from stone to flesh. That's why we're still overcomers. We're still in the race, looking to Jesus, meeting with him, getting under the word. I know it's taken a lot longer than we thought it would take, but equally with that, we soon hear where God still has to do that work, that change. It doesn't take long to realize that no, it wasn't faith. That's why it didn't work. That's why that happened, and so forth. But sometimes for us to see that and appreciate that and understand that, it takes a while, it takes a few years. It takes a working by God, and then we can look back on those things. And yet, where it didn't work, or where things happened, yet look how God used that. Because as we know in Romans 8, that all things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. So everything to those who walk by the Spirit, who desire to walk by the Spirit, we find everything works together for good. Even our failures, where we missed it a mile off in faith, or where we thought it was faith, but after a while God had to show us it wasn't. Even all of that is working together for good. That is the love of the Father's heart to us. How he wants us. How he's wooing us, drawing us by the cords of love to walk totally by faith in these last days. Yes, it's a challenge, but I believe the culmination of our faith, the ultimate of our faith, the goal of our faith, brothers and sisters, is to walk totally by faith. Because walking totally by faith, that means you've embraced Jesus Christ and him alone. Don't try and work out how he's going to do this, when he's going to do this. Maybe we've been challenged tonight. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, my, the pastor's really off his rocker tonight. But I can only impart to you what I believe God has been giving to me and speaking to me on. But discern how you're hearing with regard to God's word. Guard your mind, your ears. It is very important, because there are so many things now that are trying to trick us, trying to appeal to the intellect. And there are a lot of things we've got to disregard. And the way we do that is to come back to the simple, engrafted word of God. Let the word of God renew. Let the word of God wash us down. Let the word of God continue to work with our minds, our hearts, our thinking. Because it will, if we want it. Praise God. Heavenly Father, tonight again we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that yes, you have challenged us. You have reminded us what our walk is about, what we are coming out from, what the deeper life is, and so on. It hasn't changed, because you don't change, and your word doesn't change. It's forever settled in heaven. But Father, I pray that we all of us will spend that time in your presence and allow your Holy Spirit to work and to remove those hindrances that would still be there to our faith. And we know those hindrances are there, Father, because it comes out of our mouth. We hear it. But Lord, we've heard tonight that total faith is the goal. It's what we're aiming for. That's embracing Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I pray you'll work that with each one of us. Help us not to rest on our laurels. Help us not to deceive ourselves. Father, whatever it takes, just work it in and through us. This is why we have received the blessed comfort of the Holy Spirit, who will lead us into all truth. And all truth is a walk of total faith. And so, Father, be with us, bless us, preserve us, and keep us till we assemble again, because we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.